Manuscript Releases, Volume 2, Mr. Number 143, Council on Food, Manual Labor, and Voice Culture in SDA Schools. But there is danger of allowing one line of the work to absorb all the power and the means. There is danger of loading down everyone with this class of work, because of the intensity with which it is carried on. This work has no limit, it can never be got through with, and it must be treated sensibly, as a part of the great whole. It must not be allowed to consume the means that should sustain the ministry of the word. Never, never should a sanitarium be established to become an interest independent of the church. Genuine medical missionary work is in no case to become divorced from the gospel ministry. I can see in the Lord's providence that the medical missionary work is to be a great entering wedge whereby the diseased soul may be reached. I think, Dr. Kellogg, that there should be no mistakes made now to devote our powers too largely to the lowest class. There is work to be done for the higher classes, that they shall exert an influence in that line and be laborers together with God. The Lord in His great goodness and matchless love has been urging upon His human instrumentalities that missionaries are not really complete in their education unless they have a knowledge how to treat the sick and the suffering. The truth expressed in living, unselfish deeds is the strongest argument for Christianity. Relieving the sick and helping the distressed is working in Christ's lines, and demonstrates most powerful gospel truths representing Christ's mission and work upon the earth. The knowledge of the art of relieving suffering humanity opens doors without number through which the truth can find lodgment in the heart, and souls are saved unto life, eternal life. There is with you a love for supremacy, whether you see it or not, and had it not been cherished you would have had by your side men who would have been developing as useful physicians, men who would be constantly growing, and upon whom you could have depended. But you have not given them all the advantages which you yourself would have claimed had you been in their place. I feel deeply for you, and you must change your course of action. You are living 2 years in one, and I utter my protest against this. You understand this taxation. This pressure of the living machinery cannot continue without a giving out of some of the fine works. And then, oh, my brother, then what? Death, which would be far worse, then, living without power to do it all. If we had less to say in regard to microbes, and more in regard to the matchless love and power of God, we should honor God far more. The whole vineyard of the Lord has been robbed to carry on a work that is never ending. It has consumed means that should have supplied the necessities of foreign fields. The means spent in Chicago would have given to new fields advantages for doing the very work that God has designated should be done. Look at the destitution that exists in portions of the field in foreign countries, and in contrast see the investment made in one great city. It shows that there has been a misappropriation of means which is not yours to do with as you please. To neglect the very work God has given you, and take up a work He has not appointed, is not the devising of the Lord but your own devising. You cannot carry the work in Chicago as you have been doing, and perform acceptably the work the Lord has appointed you. No one who believes that we are giving the last message of mercy to the world is required by God to go over the ground you are going over. If the institutions established are to be conducted, as is stated, on the undenominational plan, what have Seventh-day Adventists to do with this work? Seventh-day Adventists have a special work to do in building sanitariums in our world as necessity demands. The third angel's message is virtually ignored by you. You have belittled the work of the gospel ministry, while you have made the medical missionary work disproportionately important. You have weakened where you should have strengthened. You would bear no restriction. You were determined, if you could, to set in operation the work you had planned, but this work God has never given you to do. The Lord has assigned you your position as chief of the medical fraternity, but you are to have an influence with the leading medical men. You can be a counselor. You should be listened to as a wise counselor, but you are in no case to consider that you are the man with power to set up and to cast down. You are not to feel that in the exercise of your power you may exalt whom you will and tear down as you see fit. God's servants are not given this power. And now, my brother, this agreement that you have framed with lawyers, to which you ask men to attach their names, thus agreeing to certain restrictions, I must say God forbids. The Lord is not to be hindered in His workings by any monopolies. The Lord, who has given wisdom to devise and plan the health foods, has not given it to one man alone, or to two, or to 20 men. When the Lord works, it is for the benefit of His people, as was manifested in the giving of manna from heaven. The health foods are the result of the experimenting of many minds. It is not one mind alone that has been worked by the Lord. God does not endorse the way that this matter is being handled. The deceptive power of the enemy has led you to leave God's banner trailing in the dust while Dr. Kellogg has committed himself as working, undenominationally, in a work which had taken the money from a people who are decidedly a denominational people. Your religious teachings are not to be depended on or accepted as a "Thus saith the Lord." It has been unwise for the people to rely upon you as they have done, for you are not a safe guide in spiritual matters. I have been instructed that the production of health foods is of the Lord's devising, and is not to be regarded as the special property of any one man. But no one should take what I say as giving liberty to infringe on Dr. Kellogg's patents, or the patents of any man. There is in it, pantheism, the beginning of theories which, carried to their logical conclusion, would destroy faith in the sanctuary question and in the atonement. I do not think that Dr. Kellogg saw this clearly. I do not think that he realized that in laying his new foundation of faith, he was directing his steps toward infidelity.